Welcome back, everybody. To Yomi, today we're up to Daf Nun Amud Beis 50b, and we are on the top of Daf Nun Amud Beis. We end with a discussion about what you're allowed to do to remove hairs on Shabbos and washing hairs on Shabbos, and whether that is going to be considered a psik reisho or a davarshina miskavein. But now the Gemara goes into a bit of a side discussion about other things that you are or are not allowed to use to wash on Shabbos. So Amar Rav Yehuda, says, Afar levinsa shari. So powdered brick to wash your face is allowed on Shabbos, even if one has a beard, because we assume that this is not going to remove hairs, at least not necessarily. So it would be at worst a davarshinu miskavin, and according to Rabbi Shimon, which we paskin like, it would be okay. Amar Rav Yosef, says kusva diyasmin shari. Sesame pulp is going to be okay. Amar Rav Rava says afar pilpuli shari. Crushed pepper is going to be allowed. Amar Rav Sheshes, says barda shari. Barda is also going to be allowed. My barda. So what's this barda that you're allowed to use for face wash, whatever it is? Amar Rav Yosef, tilsa ahala, tilsa asa, v'tilsa sigali. So it's a third of aloes and a third of myrtle and a third of violets. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nechami Bar Yosef, kohecha deleka ruba ala shapir dami. As long as it does not have a majority of aloe of this Allah, then it's going to be okay, because we assume once there's more than half of that, then it is something which removes hair, and that would be a problem. Now the Gemara switches to a different topic. Well, my name is Rav Sheshes. They ask the following question of Rav Sheshes. Ma'u lufto azesim b'Shabbos. Is one allowed to crush up olives on a rock on Shabbos? So you're basically bruising the olives in order to sweeten them. You kind of beat out the bitterness and make a much sweeter taste. So the question is, are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? Is this going to be an issue of Shavia Ochla, making a new food or molid, maybe creating something new? Are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? So he said to them, so Sheisha said back, are you even allowed to do this during the week? He said the reason why he wouldn't allow this even during the week, Rav Sheshes would assume, is because of Hefsed Ochan. You're wasting food. When you're crushing these olives, some juice falls out, and that's going to be a problem, because you can't just waste all of that liquid. Lemi pliga de Shmuel. So let us say that this ruling of Rav Sheshes disputes that which Shmuel said. Amar Shmuel osa adon kol tzarko v'pas. Because Shmuel says that someone's allowed to do anything they need to do, any need that they have, they're allowed to use with bread. So we see that you're allowed to even bruise bread or do anything with bread. So lechora, Shmuel would also hold you're allowed to do the same thing for olives if there's a purpose. Since you're not just doing it to get rid of it, you're doing it to sweeten the olives, maybe it would be okay. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Because Amre, that's not such a good comparison or question, because paslo mi'isa hane mi'isi. Because when you crush bread or do something to bread, bread is still usable. You're able to use bread, so that's why Shmuel would allow it. But over here, when it comes to the olives, the juice is now repulsive. It's disgusting, so that's why it wouldn't be allowed. So if Sheshes had this did by olives, we tried to say that maybe this would go hand in hand against that which Shmuel said by bread. But we say, no, there are different cases. Bread might be different than olives are. So now we go back to our original topic. Amemar Marzutra Veravashi Havu Yasve. So Amemar Marzutra and Ravashi were all sitting together on Shabbos. Aisu Kameu Barda. And they brought before them Barda. This was the thing that we just mentioned before that you're allowed to use to wash your face on Shabbos. So they brought this in front of them. Amemar Veravashi Mashu Marzutra Lo Mashu. So Amemar and Ravashi, they used it to wash their face, and Marzutra did not use it. Amrulei, so they said to him, Lo Savra Lamar Lahada Amar Rav Sheshes Barda Shari. Do you not hold of Rav Sheshes that Barda is allowed to be used? Amrulehu, Rav Mordechai, so Rav Mordechai, who was also there with them, he said, Bar Mine Demar Da Afilu Bechol Nami Lo Sfirlei. So forget about Marzutra from this discussion, because Marzutra holds that even during the week you're not allowed to use this. Why? Because Savra Laki Hadatani, because he holds that which is taught in the following brisa, Megara Adam Gilde Tsoa Vigilde Maka Shabsara Bishil Tsaro. A person is allowed to take off a scab if it's bothering him. So for discomfort purposes, you're allowed to take this off. Im Bishil Yafu's Usar, but if it's done to beautify yourself, that's going to be a problem. So Rashi points out already, the issue would be that the pasuk says that a man is not supposed to wear simlas isha. You're not supposed to beautify yourself in the way that a woman beautifies themselves. So you're not supposed to do certain things to maintain your body like a woman would. And this is something that a woman would do. So that's why it's going to be a problem. So that's the same reason why he wouldn't wear this barda, because it's something that women do. It's something which would be a problem even during the week. So forget about Shabbos. The inu savrua. So what did Amemar and Ravashi hold? How are they allowing this? Ki adtani, they held with like the following brisa. Rochei tzadam hanei v'ravragla b'chol yom mishu akono, that a person is supposed to wash their hands, feet, and face every single day in honor of Hashem. Mishum shenemar kol pa'al Hashem u'ma'aneu. They hold simply that keeping yourself clean brings honor to Hashem. So this is not going to be considered a problem of beged isha, because this is something that just keeps you clean. So it's going to be nice for Hashem. Now the Mishnah went on. So we continue to analyze the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer kupa mata al tzidah v'noftel shama yitovahu. So the Mishnah said that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that you're supposed to tilt the box on its side and remove the food, because we're afraid that you are going to remove the thing that is being matmin, the insulating thing, which is muksa, and that's going to be a problem. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is afraid that maybe if the pot is moved and the shearings fall from the sides of the pot into the cavity, that the person's not going to be able to move them when they're trying to replace the pot. But the Chachamim disagree, they have no such concerns. The Gemara goes and tries to understand this machloka. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi. So Rabbi Abba said the name of Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi. Hakol modim she'im niskal kula haguma she'asra hachzir. Everyone agrees that if the cavity has become disgusting, which means that the shearings have fallen into them, that it's usher to go and return the pot to its initial place, because then you would have to move the shearings. The shearings, again, is the stuff which is insulating. So the whole machlokes is only in a case where the cavity did not become disgusting, where the stuff did not fall in, but once it's fallen in, then there's no machlokes. Everyone agrees that it's going to be asr lahachzir. Tinan. But now the Gemara's question is from the following Mishnah. The Chacham no till machzir. The Chacham say that you are allowed to remove and return the pot. Hey, chidami, so what's the case? Idgon is kalkul haguma. If you're going to tell me the cases where the cavity did not become disgusting, meaning the shearings did not fall in, shaper kamri rabbanan. So the rabbanan were right when they said that it's allowed to be replaced, because everyone agrees to that. The only time it would be a problem is when the shearings fall into the cavity. Elav afal pishin is kalkul haguma. Rather, are we not talking about a case where the chachamim would say that you're allowed to return the pot even once the shearings have fallen in, where the thing that's being matmin has fallen in and you're going to have to move them? Still, they're not concerned even when it's fallen in. So we see that Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Chiya Barashi is going to be wrong, because they said that everyone agrees when it's fallen in that it's going to be asr lahachzir. But here we're saying that's the machlokes case. That's where Rabbi Eliezer says, and Eliezer says that it's going to be a problem, and the chachamim say it's going to be okay. So answers the Gemara, no, this is not correct. Because liolam the gonis kalkula, really the Mishnah is talking about a case where the shearings did not fall into the cavity. And here they only have a machlokas whether we are concerned that if we permit the person to move the pot, whether we're afraid that the shearings are going to fall in, and therefore someone would have to come and move a muksa item on Shabbos. One says that we are afraid that the stuff's going to fall into the pot, into the cavity, and one says that we are not afraid, and that's why the rachachamim say it's allowed. And Rabbi Elazar says it's going to be a problem. Now the Gemara comes and discusses a different halacha relating to muksa. Amar Rav Huna says, "Hi slikusta." So this slikusta, this was a nice flower. You put it into some moist dirt, and it smells really nice. Something they used to give to politicians, a nice thing. And the person would then go and pick up the plant. He would smell it and put it back into the earth. Datsa shalfa v'hadar datsa sharia. So if someone put it into the ground, took it out, and then put it back into the ground all before Shabbos, then once Shabbos comes, you are allowed to now take it out of the ground. We're not afraid that he's going to come to move any other muksa dirt during that time, because he's created a hole that's pretty big, because he put it in and out, created a hole that's very big. So that's why there's no concern of ilav asir. But if he did not do this above procedure before Shabbos, meaning put it in, then it is asir to move it on Shabbos, because we are afraid that if you do so, you are going to move the other dirt, which is muktza. So Amar Shmuel has a similar ruling. Hai sakina debeni urbe. So if someone has a knife that's being stored between a row of bricks, that's where you're keeping it. Datsa shalfa v'hadar datsa shari. If someone put it in and took it out and put it in again before Shabbos, then you are allowed to withdraw it on Shabbos for ilav usher. But if not, then it would be usher to go ahead and do that on Shabbos. Again, when you've created a well-formed hole, then it's going to be okay. Here, by this case of the knife, it seems we're concerned maybe with bone, some sort of tolda bone. But another similar ruling. Now comes another one. Marzutravite Maravashi Amar Begordisa Dekani Shapir Dami. So Marzutra and others say it was Ravashi. They say it's okay to insert the knife into a comb of reeds. What does this mean? Let's say you have a densely clustered thing of reeds. So there's no issue of putting a knife into there. We're not worried that it's going to go and scrape off the peel of the reeds and then create a situation of mamachik where you're smoothening. So we're not worried about that, and that's going to be okay. But we had the shita of Rav Huna and Shmuel, who said that if you're going to use this slikusa, this plant, or this knife, it needs to go in, out, in before Shabbos, and then you're allowed to take it out. But Amar Leh Rav Mordechai L'Rava, Masiv Rav Katina Tiyofta. So Rav Mordechai said to Rava, Rav Katina has a big question on this from the following Mishnah in Kelaim. The Mishnah in Kelaim, in order to understand, we have to have a little bit of background. In the times of the Mishnah, they used to take radishes and turnips, and they would stick them into the ground to keep them moist. If they were put under a geffen, if they were stuck into the ground under a geffen, and under a vine, so then they are liable for kelaim, for shatnez. They're also liable for shvius. It could become a shmita issue. Also, miser issue. Let's say it grows a little more when it's in the ground, so you'd have to give miser from that extra growth. But it also becomes a Shabbos concern, because let's say you put it back into the ground. If it's considered part of the ground itself and part of the karka, as if you just planted it again, then there would be a zorea issue or a kotzer issue. So it's important to know halachically how we treat this thing. So says the Mishnah, Atomin lefes utznonos tachas agevin. So someone who buries a turnip or radishes under a grapevine, under a vine. Imhaya miktas alav meguin. If some of its leaves are still exposed, this is important for Shabbos to know that it's not fully considered underground, so kotzer wouldn't be an issue. So eno hoshesh, he need not be concerned. Lo mishum kilayim, velo mishum shvias, velo mishum meiser, vini talin b'shabbos. So if some of its leaves are sticking out, then there's no issue of kilayim, because it's not going to be considered part of the ground. It's also not an issue of shmita, and it's also not an issue of meiser. And you're allowed to take it out on Shabbos. So what do we see from here? What we see clearly is, even though you're going to remove other dirt from taking it out, out. It never said anything about having to put it in, out, and in again. Even though you might move other dirt, you're still allowed to take it out on Shabbos, even though the other dirt around it is going to be mukta. So we see that this whole thing of Shmuel and Rav Huna seems to be extraneous. You don't need to do this whole in, out, in thing in order to work this tiyufta. So we see this is actually a good question of Rav Huna and Shmuel's rulings, and therefore you would not need to go ahead and do this. This is Daf Nun Amud Beis. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.